PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in.
Bravery, courage, selflessness. These are the characteristics of men and women who put the needs of others before their own. Day after day, firefighters, emergency workers, police officers, even our parents and teachers do their very best to make our lives better. The truth is, we all have the potential to be heroes. Here's a story about a young superhero who learns what it means to truly be a hero. His story is called Max.
Max.
Written and illustrated by Bob Graham. Read by Regina King.
And Ian Desdunay.
Morning arrived on a street like any other street, in a town like any other town. In a house the color of the sun and the shape of a lightning bolt, a baby woke up in his crib. Not just any baby. He was a super baby. Son of superheroes, Captain Lightning and Madam Thunderbolt. Imagine him behind those yellow walls, his fingers curling and his feet kicking. His name was Max. His parents, legendary catchers of thieves and bullies, loved Max dearly.
Mama!
You can walk already, said Max's dad. And you can talk already.
Mama!
And I think that you'll soon be flying like a bird. He'll be a superhero just like us, said his grandma. But first, he'll need to fly, said his granddad. Although they bounced him and bumped him and threw him like a feather on the wind, Max did not fly. He just floated gently back to Earth. Max grew as super babies do, but still, he didn't fly. Just hover a little, said Madam Thunderbolt. Every superhero needs to hover and hurtle and swoop. Well, maybe sometime soon, she added. At home, Max and Phantom the dog played on the floor. Come on up and join me with the parakeet, said his dad.
I can't,
said Max.
I want to play with Phantom.
I can't understand why he doesn't fly. When I was his age, I got into trouble for leaving fingerprints on the ceiling lamp. By the time he went to school, Max was not a flying superhero, but just an ordinary boy with a cape and a mask, which were no help at all in the schoolyard.
Why don't you do tough things like your mom and dad?
Asked Aaron.
And why do you dress in those funny clothes? And why don't you fly?
Asked Daisy. Max just shrugged. The sun rose one morning with the world-famous superheroes deep in dreams of yesterday's exploits. Grandma and Granddad dreamed of heroic past deeds. Phantom dreamed of rabbits. could know that a baby bird was about to fall from its nest? Max knew. Max saw it from his open window. This bird was not ready to fly. Max ran to the stairs, and he took them three at a time. He reached the front door. The baby bird fell. Max flew to save it. You be careful up there, Max. Max flew the baby bird back to its nest. In the weeks that followed, Max could be seen hovering like a summer dragonfly above the school gates. Try as she might, Miss Honeysett couldn't keep him firmly in his seat in class. At lunchtime in the schoolyard, to his friends, he was still plain and ordinary Max. Well, not quite ordinary. But then, as Erin said, everyone's different in some way, aren't they? Now that Max can fly, will he become a superhero like his legendary parents? Will he hurtle and swoop to catch thieves, crooks, and bullies? Not important, said Madam Thunderbolt. Let's call him a small hero doing quiet deeds. The world needs more of those. Max wished his mom wouldn't hug him in public. Now, on Sundays, after their week's work is finished, Captain Lightning, Madam Thunderbolt, and Max ride high over the town.
Can we go up through the jet stream?
Asks Max. Whenever you're ready, Max.
Max was encouraged by his parents and grandparents, who knew that there was a superhero living inside of him, just waiting to leap out. Well, real-life heroes, like firefighters, need encouragement too. They come to the firehouse each and every day not knowing exactly what they'll be called upon to do. And you might be surprised to find out just what and who inspires them.
My family. My mother, she basically guided me in the right way, telling me different things to do, how to handle myself around people and be respectful of everyone.
I'd have to say firefighters. I lived down a block from a firehouse, and as a young boy, I used to walk by the firehouse, and there was a certain type of aura about the whole place, and I used to see them responding, and they kind of inspired me because I knew they were off to do the right thing and help people.
Both my grandfather and my father were a great inspiration. My grandfather had been a New York City firefighter for 33 years. And my father, he was my particular hero. He had faced a lot of adversity in his life, and he always dealt with it and worked hard and strove to do the right thing.
Heroes.
One of my heroes would have to say is Vince Lombardi, coach of the Green Bay Packers, a native New Yorker, and he took a bunch of football plays and made them believe in themselves and showed them some leadership and some team spirit and made them into champions.
I had a lot of different heroes.
I, like most children, looked up to the athletes.
Well, you know, like the average guys, like Jordan, you know, I like Jordan. A lot of the ball players.
I think a hero is somebody that helps another human being. We saw a lot of heroes on September 11th. The New York City firemen went and gave their lives saving other people, strangers. And then after that, the outpouring of love from the rest of the country, people helping other people. Everybody was a hero.
It's funny, we don't, like, until like, September 11th, I mean, we didn't even realize what we did every day. We just loved doing it. And when we lost all our guys, we lost 12 guys, we took a step back and realized. I mean, the only people I would call heroes in the world are the guys on the wall outside. I don't look at guys I work with heroes every day. We're just coming here to do our job and go home.
One of my best heroes, I guess, would be Malcolm X. The way he strived for his people, the way he always stood up for his beliefs. He never bowed. He stayed strong. I mean, he grew up from a kid in the streets, like most of us. Got in trouble, was able to do whatever he had to do, his time or whatever, and then came out of it and taught himself, and became much more than what he was. You know, and he died for his cause, unfortunately. But it's similar to as being a fireman.
Qualities.
Firemen and policemen and teachers are very giving of themselves, and they are selfless. They don't expect anything in return, and they're charming, they're giving, they're always able to be able to help.
Strong-minded, tough skin, definitely tough skin. They harass you. You know, outgoing, motivated.
I think you have to love people and love life. I think it's very important, and it's very important to help people. It's a noble thing that you can help people, you know, to want to be good.
Someone who is caring and puts the safety of others before themselves.
Advice.
First of all, stay in school, because then you can be anything you want. But just take care of yourself. Stay healthy.
Honor your parents and do what they tell you and work hard in school.
Be self-motivated. Don't take what they're saying for more than what it's worth. Do for yourself, because I went through that. They tell me I would never make it. And I've made it. You know, so I wouldn't listen to them. If you want it bad enough, you'll get it.
You also have to have a good handle on life and be able to deal with situations. And by working hard in school, you learn to develop skills that are necessary to pursue this.
Sometimes our lives depend on those who risk their lives for us. Their sacrifice and bravery are plain to see. But there are other people whose acts of heroism are not so obvious. These are called unsung heroes, people who just work hard every day to help those unable to help themselves. The volunteers at the Wildlife Rescue Center of the Hamptons are unsung heroes. Instead of relaxing at the seashore, they're out there saving animals who are in desperate need of help. The Wildlife Rescue Center is located in eastern Long Island. The center rescues and rehabilitates wildlife that are hurt and in trouble. The staff and volunteers take care of the rescued animals until they are ready to return to the wild.
I'm Kristen Washer from the Wildlife Rescue Center of the Hamptons. I've been working with them for 2 years as the hospital supervisor, which means that I take care of all the animals that when they initially come in and administer first aid.
Yeah, the break feels pretty good. There's a little bit of calcification here.
Okay. My boss, Ginny Fratty, Ginny started the Wildlife Rescue Center of the Hamptons because she found a hurt possum on the side of the road that was hit by a car, and she couldn't find anybody to help her. And then she realized that there needed to be a place to help these animals.
Put a little tape.
She's like a friend to me, and she's a mentor, and to me she's a role model and a hero.
She had the wings in the right position, and that's it.
It's all ready to go back?
Yep.
Okay.
Wildlife rescue.
Rescuing animals in trouble is one of the most important and dangerous responsibilities of the center. A rescue almost always starts when someone from the community calls with an emergency.
Oh my. Okay, very good. Hold on just 1 second. Kristen, there's a goose over at Cormorant Point that has a six-pack ring around its neck that's stuck and it's in the water. Would you think you'd be able to go get it?
Yeah, I'll get Tom and we'll get the gear and we'll head out.
Okay.
Okay, Cormorant
Point. Hi, sir, we'll be right there. Okay, thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Kristen and Tom rush to the scene. They've been on many rescues together and have often put themselves in danger for the sake of the animals.
My name's Thomas Lovett. I'm a full-time staff member here at the Wildlife Rescue Center. Kristen and I, we can all read each other's movements and we get along, and it's a perfect thing because when we're out on a rescue, we know what the other person will and will not do, and you can't beat it.
The location is only accessible by water, so the bay constable loads them onto his boat, and they are off to the site. The rescue center must reach the bird in time, or he will drown.
spots the goose from the boat, and they head in that direction. The team knows it only has minutes to reach the trapped animal.
When I'm on a rescue, what goes through my mind is, I want to be successful. I want to see this animal return to the wild.
The goose is on the other side of a large pond. His head is underwater as he struggles to free himself from the plastic ring. This is a battle he will lose without Kristen and Tom's help.
When we first noticed that he was drowning, we definitely knew that we were on a time limit there, and we had to run in as quick as possible and get the bird.
The goose continues to wrestle with the ring as Tom rushes in. He chooses the fastest route, going directly across the pond, but it's slow running through knee-deep salt water.
When I saw the animal, just the way it was struggling, you know, you just have to get there, and regardless of what happens, your main goal is to save the animal.
He makes it, just in time. He carries the goose back to Kristen before removing the plastic ring. That's because it takes two people to cut the ring off the animal's neck.
The main problems that these animals have is because of a human. Like, he had a plastic ring around his neck because a human threw it away. All right, let's get this off first. Things that we should do to avoid litter like that is to break the rings. You want to break every hole that's in those six-pack rings and then throw them away properly. When you're at the beach, don't just toss it to the side because animals will pick it up and then they'll try and eat it or do whatnot with it.
Let's get her back. Check her out.
First, we thought the only problem on the bird was the rings around its neck from the plastic hand holder, but when we took him back to the exam room at the hospital and we gave him a further first aid inspection, then we noticed that his left wing was broken.
It's a pretty bad break. He's probably going to need the two bandages, the figure eight and the body wrap.
Yeah. So let's start the figure eight first.
Yeah. And then we can get him to the vet for an x-ray. At least this way it'll hold the wing stable.
Yeah, keep the bones in place.
Yeah. The body wrap would give a little more stability. We have to get under the good wing.
All right, you got that.
This is the hard part.
At first, the bandage feels awkward to the bird. But once it's wrapped, it makes him feel safe and secure.
Yeah. Definitely a two-person job.
Yeah. Great.
Poor thing.
That should make it feel a little bit better.
Dinner. Yep. A nice dinner.
Set him up in a crib in the back.
Yep.
Haley puts the bird in for the night. A playpen is perfect for taking animals in and out safely.
Good night.
A few weeks later, the goose is free of the bandages and is ready to experience the water. Bathing helps him exercise his legs and get used to swimming again. When Kristen sprays his wings, it comforts him and restores the natural waterproofing in his feathers. Soon, it's time to return outside. Haley takes him to the back of the rescue center and puts him into an enclosed pond.
The main reason why we put them in the outside pond is to get them used to the weather temperature again in the water and make them use their little legs and paddle around like they would do out in the wild and bathe themselves and just get used to it all again.
Rescue Center rehabilitates will be released into the wild. So, just 6 weeks after being rescued, the goose is returned to a spot very close to where he was found. This is an important moment for the team.
The best feeling is to watch the release. That's how you know that your rescue was successful, when you're able to release the same one back to where it came from.
Thank you.
animals, I think that we are heroes. We are giving them a second chance at life.
I think his mate is around. That's probably why he didn't fly away. Oh, look, there's the mate.
When we release an animal, it's an incredible feeling to just let that animal go and be free again.
Heroes like Kristen, Tom, and Jenny remind us to think less about ourselves and more about the world around us. They give us something to look up to and provide invaluable inspiration. So, if you're thinking about becoming a hero, then here are three books that might come to your rescue. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, I'm Sarah. This is the kind of book that makes you feel warm inside, even though it's cold outside. That's because it's all about mittens. Imagine trying to make a snowman without mittens. Your hands would freeze. Well, that's why this boy isn't playing, because he has no mittens. Well, a woman named Sarah peeks out her window and knows what she has to do. So she gets to work making mittens. Sarah makes sure there are enough for everyone. Take a look at this mitten tree. I bet you can guess who decorated it with all these mittens. What a surprise! Mittens, mittens for all the kids. It made Sarah feel wonderful to see everyone so happy with her handmade mittens, and made me feel great too. If you're looking for something warm and cozy, then curl up with this book, The Mitten Tree.
Hi, I'm Olivia. I'm reading this terrific book. It's called If a Bus Could Talk.
Imagine being thrown out of your bus seat just because you're not the right color. Or being asked to leave the bus because the color of your skin.
I can't even imagine.
Well, Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat. And that started the big protest called the Montgomery Bus Boycott.
For over a whole year, people refused to ride the buses. They walked everywhere. Rosa Parks wasn't here, but there was still a long road ahead.
So, if you're looking for a hero, try this book. It won't disappoint you.
Hi, I'm Nick. I like to read books about people who do courageous things, especially at night. These books are always filled with surprises and adventure, like this one, Sosu's Call.
It's about a boy who lives in a small fishing village by the sea. Even though he can't walk, he ends up rescuing his whole village. He becomes quite a hero. The people in town don't think much of Sosu because of his disability, so he stays close to his family and rarely leaves his yard.
When a storm comes, Sosu is frightened, but realizes he must do something to save the town. It gets really freaky. I won't tell you how the story ends, but let's say Sosu does something really courageous to save everyone.
This is my treehouse, my quiet place to read. When I come up here with a book like this, my night times turn to an adventure. Yours can too, with Sosu's Call.
When we think of the heroes in our lives, certain inner qualities come to mind. These traits are part of what we call character. And that character is something we like to celebrate.
How do I know that you're a hero? You're not the kind of hero I expected to see. You don't look much like a hero. I haven't seen you in the papers or on national TV. Do you dress real fine and have a lot of fancy cars in your garage? Spend your time in a mansion with an entourage, a rising star with fortune and fame. Did you win a race or are you in first place on a baseball team? Did I see your face on a magazine? Why don't I seem to know your name? Do you fly and wear a cape like in the comic books above? Or is being a true hero much more than what I thought? Now I know why you're a hero. It's all about the little things that nobody sees. You're the quiet kind of hero, an everyday hero, an unsung kind of hero, an everyday hero to me. An everyday hero to me. An everyday hero to me.
There are so many people who do brave and selfless things every day. We admire them, and oftentimes we wish we could be like them. But here's the amazing thing. There actually is a strong, courageous person that lives inside of you. Because the truth is, you're a hero too. I'll see you next time. Today's Reading Rainbow books are Max, text and illustrations by Bob Graham, published by Candlewick Press. If a Bus Could Talk, the story of Rosa Parks, written and illustrated by Faith Ringgold, published by Simon & Schuster Books for Young Readers, an imprint of Simon & Schuster Children's Publishing Division. The Mitten Tree, written by Candace Christensen, illustrated by Elaine Greenstein. Published by Fulcrum Publishing. Sosu's Call, written by Misha Kasare. Originally published in Ghana in 1977 by Sub-Saharan Publishers. American edition published in 2002 by Kane Miller Book Publishers.